Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, April 24th, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast, our friends listening to us in Cochise County, covering all of southeastern Arizona out of KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. And we live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website as well, kvoi.com. And you can hear our program on any of three venues, anywhere, anytime, anywhere in the world, really, listening to the Buckmaster Show at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. By about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we usually have the day's show posted for you. But we are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, and we'll launch this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show with a focus on summer air travel. Fares are up, but there are some bargains if you shop around. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Half past the hour, the Reed Park Zoo has put out the call for area residents to donate their leafy yard trimmings for snakes, sneaks. Yeah, put them out for the snakes, for snacks for the zoo's new resident elephants. We'll tell you what is on the elephant's wish list. Then we'll close out the show with Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly arts editor, and she is, and we're happy to say, the Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts. Margaret will have a rundown on what is happening on the Tucson arts scene. You are always encouraged to call us if you have a question or comment on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, the number of air travelers coming and going through the Tucson International Airport increased in the first quarter of 2012, posting a 3% gain in comparison to last year. Joining me in studio to kick things off on this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show, Richard Grunzel, the Chief Financial Officer. He is the CFO for the Tucson International Airport. Good to see you, Dick.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you.
Nothing like starting the year off on a pretty good note, considering 2012 is still kind of coming out of a recession. But how do those passenger numbers look?
They look very positive for the first quarter. You know, the thing that we've had this year, which we weren't as successful in getting the last couple years, is additional flights during our busy season, which is typically February, March, early April. We've talked before about our seasonal flight that Southwest Airlines put in to Baltimore Washington International. That flight did very well. Alaska also added some additional flights to Seattle this busy season. In American, in comparison to last year, we've got those three flights a day to LAX in comparison to last year that we didn't used to have.
And the American numbers look very impressive, flying 17% more passengers this quarter. One thing that jumps out at me, Dick Grunzel, is the Alaska service. So many people I talk to like to go up to Vancouver, Seattle, the great Northwest. And for us in Southern Arizona, it really makes, I guess for them in the wintertime, it makes sense to come to Tucson. But now we're thinking of Alaskan cruises, whatever. Get
right
into the cool weather.
It's definitely a great market going both ways. We have a lot of people who vacation here from that area, and you know, a lot of people who've actually, you know, relocated here, so they're going back and visiting relatives and that sort of thing.
I know of at least three families that have condos in the Victoria, British Columbia area that use that service out of TIA up to Seattle. Then they take the little puddle jumper over to Victoria.
Right. Yeah, it's like I said, it's a very, very popular destination. Also, it's a great connection for people going to Portland. Portland is definitely a destination that we're really trying to work with Alaska to try and add a nonstop to Portland as well.
That would really make sense. And starting in June, Alaska is going to put more capacity. I guess, are they increasing their aircraft size?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like at this point. We're going to be getting, I think, about 20 to 30 more seats in the larger aircraft starting in a couple of months. So that's really good news. It's just an area that we've always needed more capacity going up to the Seattle area.
If airfares are up across the country, depending on what airport you're talking about, usually around maybe $100 when you think of the last couple of years. A lot of that, I guess, is the oil price increases.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty much all the oil prices. Yeah. The airlines have really continued to be very disciplined in terms of overall not adding seat capacity. And the reason they're doing that is so that they can raise the prices in order to really account for the rise in oil prices that has happened over the last couple of years.
Dick Grunzel is with us from Tucson International Airport. He's the chief financial officer. We've talked before, Dick, about the incentives that have been approved for TIA to go after carriers that perhaps maybe already are operating here that might want to come into the Tucson market. How is that going?
It's going very well. The airlines are receiving very well the incentives that we have to offer in terms of adding new air service. The area that seems to be generating the most interest right now, and we've been concentrating on a lot, is Mexico. We have been working a lot with our community business partners who have an interest in flying to Mexico, and we've also been working with an air service consultant that we retained a couple of months ago, and they've been helping us identify all of the potential airlines who have the right type of aircraft and run the right type of service that could really give us the type of service we need to Mexico, which is probably, you know, less frequency but and smaller aircraft, but to more destinations. We're looking at possibly three or four destinations to Mexico that we could potentially fly to from Tucson.
I mean, you could fly into, I guess, Rocky Point would be a possibility. How many folks from Tucson go down to Rocky Point or have condos down there? I mean,
yeah, and the big advantage, you know, clearly is not having to sit at the border coming back. I mean, you just hear the horror stories about people sitting in line for 3 or 4 hours. And if we could, you know, get some nice air service down to Rocky Point, I think a lot of people would be very happy about that.
American Airlines, unfortunately, as part of the reorganization, cutting jobs across the country. The call center here, about 700-plus Tucson jobs sometime in August. A lot of American employees, dozens I know, do work out of their own home already, don't they?
Yes, they do. And really the good news out of this story, if there is any, is the fact that American has indicated that the people who will be affected by this are going to have the opportunity to either work from their homes or have the potential to work, you know, move and work in some of their other call centers throughout the country.
The media has been all over this story about the possible merger with U.S. Airways based in Phoenix and American Airlines. Late last week, the three unions representing American really said they like the deal. However, now the head of American Airlines is saying not so fast. It's really hard to see whether this will happen. American at this point is continuing the official line anyway. They're going ahead with the reorganization plan. And whether it's U.S. Air or some other carrier, we really don't know, do we?
No, we don't. And really the situation right now that we have is that the bankruptcy court has granted American exclusive rights to come up with their own reorganization plan, I believe up through something like September of this year.
September.
So they're, you know, until that process, you know, goes through and the court determines whether American has a viable plan of their own and the creditors have a chance to look at that, really talk of merger possibilities is just purely speculation.
It is important to Tucson because American's one of our largest carriers out of Tucson, and of course, U.S. Air. We funnel a lot of air traffic up to Phoenix, starting their trip at TIA and going up to Phoenix and then changing planes up there. So I guess the good news is both American and U.S. Air are strong for us at this point.
Yeah, those are two definitely very strong carriers for us. American's our number two carrier, and U.S. Airways is our number three carrier here in Tucson. And, you know, whatever, you know, may happen, I mean, the fact of the matter is we need the seats. And, you know, if there would be some type of a merger, I can't believe the combined company would want to be losing any of that market share. So we're, you know, pretty confident that, you know, whatever happens, you know, we'll come out okay here.
Everybody knows the famous iconic Tucson International Airport Tower. It's been around since 1958, but plans are underway and moving forward over the next 18 months for a new tower.
Right. The design phase, we expect to begin really within the next month or two, possibly the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, who actually pays for the entire project, is actually in the process right now of selecting a design firm and then following that up with construction. So we're looking at potentially 3 years or so, I'd say, from now before we'd be looking at a new tower.
But the old tower will stay in some capacity.
Yeah, we have no plans to do anything with that tower.
It's got some
cool little offices in there, and you know, potentially those could be available for lease if you know, once that new tower is built.
TIA is going big time solar. The Arizona Solar Incentive District. The airport will be part of that.
Yes, we are, and we're very grateful that the that Pima County worked with us in terms of including all of the land area of both TIA and Ryan Airfield in this district. And what it really does is just give us a leg up when we're talking with potential solar developers, and gives them a head start and an expedited process so that they can minimize their startup costs and give us an advantage potentially over some other areas.
Airport's looking very good. There'll be a solar TIA solar sculpture dedication coming up Wednesday afternoon, 5:45. Airport looks really good, and this is like the first kind of solar art piece you're going to have.
Yes, it is. We're very excited about it. We've done such a good job of keeping this under wraps that I have absolutely no idea what it looks like. So I'll see it tomorrow along with everyone else for the first time.
All right. We always recommend flying out of Tucson International Airport rather than spending time in the car going up to Phoenix. Takes a lot of time and costs you, in the long run, I think, more money. Dick Grunzel, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show, 12:17. Coming up next, our certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman, has the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. This is The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman, who joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Shelley is up in Phoenix taking care of some business, so I don't have him his face right in front of me to determine the Shelley Fishman Smile Index with the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but I heard the market is up. That means at least a slight smile, huh, Shelley?
Sure, smile.
How are we doing today?
We're doing great. Up about 70 points. NASDAQ's down, actually, so it's, strictly speaking, a mixed market today.
You know, the volatility continues to be the issue. We started the year kind of a quiet year. Now it's just the roller coaster is back, isn't it, Shelley?
Well, we promised that there was going to be volatility. We're hoping we don't have another record year like we did in 2011, but I suspect that we're going to see, especially given what's happening in Europe, the potential problems in the Middle East and the election coming up, we're going to see up and down days that are just reflecting kind of the crisis du jour.
And the crisis du jour this week seems to be, again, Europe?
Yeah, the crisis seems to be realization, and this happens periodically, that the amount of liquidity having been provided by the European Central Bank to the banks that hold the sovereign debt of the four peripheral countries in Europe that are in trouble may not be sufficient to meet the calls on that debt if one or two of those countries gets into trouble and either has to renegotiate or default. And so the ripple effect of that, I think, is having an effect on the markets. The other thing, Bill, I really do think that in the last quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year, the markets just went up too fast, and so they're stumbling a little now. They're just being introspective, and that's what I'm going to call this. So what happens is we go up a couple of hundred points, then everybody says, oh my gosh, we went up a couple of hundred points, and we go down a couple of hundred points. And so 13,000 right now on the Dow seems to be kind of the number that it's hard to break through and hold.
So you're saying the 13,000 level seems to be the comfort zone right now, give or take 100 points either way.
Yeah, I do think that, but I think I'm going to put it in more pessimistic terms. I'm going to say it's the discomfort zone. You go past 13,000 and investors are beginning to get a little bit unhappy and are reacting to bad news, or perhaps overreacting to bad news. So I expect this 13,000 number to hang around for a while.
If you're an investor, hey, let's think about a couple of words here. Long term.
Well, if you're in it for the short term, then you better be sitting in front of a terminal, and you better be faster than a computer. So that's what day trading is about these days. If you're not in it for the long term, then you're really not an investor. You are a speculator, and some people make a lot of money at that. It's not what I do for a living.
Shelly Fishman is with us. This is the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and folks can make money in this particular environment, and that's what Shelly Fishman is all about. People do want to make money. And Shelly, give us a little bit about your particular philosophy.
Well, as you know, I have been very defensive in my investing philosophy and the strategies that we've been using for most of my clients for the past couple of years. Because when I see red on the board, I'm looking for where the green is. And where the green seems to be is in fixed income funds mostly, whether that be high yield funds or municipal bond funds. And so even on a day like today, where the market's up a little bit, we normally see either neutral or green in these funds. They have not been working in the traditional way, which is opposite equities. They've been kind of holding on days when the market is up. And then on days when the market is down, they do move up. So what we've seen over the past couple of years is a very successful pattern of investing in fixed income funds that, even if they don't move at all, are paying dividends every month. And when they do move, they've been moving up. So it's been either, dumb luck or high skill. I'll take it either way.
Shelly, one of the things I like about you, you really do take it. It makes sense. What you just explained, it's a common sense approach to investing.
Yeah. We're never going to break through ceilings using this approach, but for a clientele that is not looking for a rocket, they're looking for, a nice luxury liner, then it just makes a lot of sense. And one of my primary objectives is that people can sleep at night.
And it is surprising in this day and age that there are a lot of people who have parked cash on the sideline and are getting virtually, Shelly Fishman, 0% investment.
And we're still seeing a lot of that. There's still a great deal of money sitting in CDs and savings accounts and money market accounts. Most of the banks are trying like crazy to get that money into loans so that they can earn on it. Because right now, if you're a bank and or a credit union for that matter, and you're sitting there with deposits and you have to pay, say, 1% on those deposits, but you can't invest that money at more than, say, 30 basis points, you're losing money on every depositor. And so everybody is trying to make that money work. And that's the effect of these artificially low interest rates. It's hurting banks, but it's also creating, I think, enough of a scare in the marketplace to keep $1.5 trillion out of the equity and bond markets. We're seeing some of it come back into the bond markets. We're not seeing a return of the appetite that people have to be, really invested for the long term. A lot of money is sitting on the sidelines, and it's very troublesome.
And that in that interest rate has just not been moving, has it, Shelley?
No, and it's not going to, at least I think until 2014, unless the Fed changes their policy. And they show no propensity whatsoever to do that. So I think the interest rates are going to stay where they are. It is relatively easy to make, you know, three or four times the bank interest rate in very conservative investments, and that's what, you know, what we're after for clients is 3, 4, 5, maybe 6% with a relatively safe portfolio.
Shelley, where can folks get a hold of you?
795-7950. Where, you know, one good way is to go to your site and track me down that way.
Yeah, a lot of folks have been doing that, and it's very easy. It's buckmastershow.com. There's a link right to you, Shelley. Shelley, have a great week. We'll see you in studio next week.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thanks.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Agriculture Department says a new case of mad cow disease has turned up in a dairy cow in California. Officials, though, say the cow did not enter the human food chain. The U.S. meat and dairy supplies said to be safe. Today's five Republican primaries are expected to widen Mitt Romney's already substantial lead in the race for the GOP presidential nomination. The FBI says it has recovered as much as $1.5 million of the money that an armored car guard allegedly stole from the vehicle that he was supposed to be guarding in Pittsburgh several weeks ago. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up 71 points, the NASDAQ is down 13, the S&P 4 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1234. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more on their website, SplendidoTucson.com. Well, the Reed Park Zoo in Tucson has opened a new habitat. It is called Exhibition Tanzania, now home to 5 elephants, but the zoo has quickly run low on snacks to feed the majestic creatures. So zoo officials have put out a call to Southern Arizona residents asking for their leafy yard trimmings. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Jim Schnormeyer, the curator of the Reed Park Zoo. Jim, how are you today?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing real well. As curator, you are in charge of pretty much all of the animals, right?
Right. My main job is to manage the animal collection and manage the people who take care of the animals on a daily basis.
Can you give us an overview of what your animal collection consists of and the size? Is that about typical for a city of Tucson?
Yeah, I think we're very comparable. We're talking about 21 acres of a facility. And we run somewhere between 400 and 450 individuals there at the zoo. We pretty much cover everything from the reptiles to the large mammals. We do have a couple of primates and a couple of nice walk-through aviaries to display birds.
So you give a real nice example, an eclectic collection.
Absolutely, kind of a balanced, a little bit of everything.
Let's talk about the new elephant exhibit. Describe for our listeners who have not been over there to see it what is involved there.
Expedition Tanzania is a new addition of 7 acres, of which the facility of 3.5 of it is dedicated strictly to the elephants. That does not include what we call the paddocks or the barn. And we have brought over from the San Diego Safari 5 elephants, 2 males. Excuse me, 3 males and 2 females.
Ages for these elephants?
3 of the animals were actually wild caught, so we don't have the true age. We're thinking they're in the early 20s. Our 2 youngsters, one is 5 and one's about 16 months.
How can folks help out? I mentioned this about the leafy yard trimmings.
We have a program at the zoo, and it involves browse. And browse, for lack of a better term, is, I think you use the word, treat. It's not an essential for their nutrition. They get a very balanced diet with their pellets and their hay and things. I kind of like to think of kind of an occupational nutrition, something that's good for them but also gives them something to do. We have a very specific list of what those that vegetation is. We have 27 items on there that have been scrutinized. So when somebody calls us and says, we have this, we have a couple of questions that we ask them to make sure it is what it is. Once we're comfortable with that and they can deliver it to the zoo, we double check it one more time with several staff people to ensure, again, it is what we're being told it is.
I mean, because you're really careful now with the vetting process. Not that you weren't careful before, but there was the highly publicized accidental poisoning death of one of the 4 giraffes at the Reed Park Zoo that saddened all of us in the community. The zoo's lone male died after being fed toxic oleander cuttings by a zoo apprentice.
And so consequently, we are very careful, and checks and balances is crucial for us to make sure we don't have an issue again.
Let's talk about some of the items that are on the list. And when we're talking about the trimmings, what kind of size trimmings are we talking about? And would you prefer that people bag this up in the traditional kind of garbage bags? Or how should they go about handling
this? We try to get it as fresh as possible. We tell folks we really don't want anything that's over 48 hours old. Bagging it usually causes it to decompose quicker. So if it can be left in an open truck or a trailer or that way. In some cases, when we deal with like mesquite, we're asking for non-thorned mesquite. We can take a little thorn. Giraffes can seem to work their way around thorns and do okay with that. But most of the time, we ask for non-thorned that way. It usually has to be in pieces that can be managed by one, possibly two keepers. So we're not looking for anything larger than about a 6-inch in diameter, and maybe 7 to 8 feet long is the biggest. And Jim, anything down from there.
Jim Schnormeyer, the curator of Reed Park Zoo, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. I have an African sumac in my backyard that seems to shed its leaves every couple of months. I tell you, a ground crew could come out there right now. There'd probably be enough treats for the elephants to last you a month. They do shed their leaves quite often, but they're beautiful trees.
Right, and to be honest with you, African sumac is one of the more popular ones that is donated to us, and mm-hmm. The elephants and other animals love it.
We've got acacia on the list. You had mentioned mesquite, honey locust. You want to talk a little bit more about some of the others, willow, some of the more common ones. I don't know how many folks have a bamboo tree in their backyard or a banana tree.
And a lot of the list is also based on the plants that we have at the zoo already that you'll see there. So, again, it's a comprehensive not only what people could bring us but what we may have available to us at the zoo or in the park that way.
Is this going to be a long-term program?
Absolutely.
Okay. And to set it up, do someone would call you typically?
Right. They could call me in my office, and we would talk to them about what they have to ensure we understand what they have and that it hasn't been treated with any pesticides, fungicides, or chemicals that way.
Is there a kind of a handoff place then at the zoo where the transition takes place?
Yes, we do. We ask them to come to our administration building, and then we take them to a place where we unload it, and then that's when we have several other zoo staff examine the browse to make sure we're comfortable with it.
You have been in the zoo business, zoological business, for many years, over 20 years, right?
Almost 35.
You're pushing almost 40 years then. Why did you get into the zoo business?
You know, it was interesting. In my senior year of going to the University of Arizona, they told us less than 2% of us would get jobs in our field. And I was in a wildlife biologist, so I figured I needed to expand my knowledge. So I started to do some volunteer work, what was at that time the Randolph Park Zoo. And then that kind of got my juices flowing. And then from there, I was able to take on a job in Mississippi, and things have just kind of snowballed from there.
And it's been a very satisfying career for you. And those folks who say the zoos are an outdated 19th century, early 20th century idea, what do you say to them, Jim?
I think education is one of our key factors in our zoos, teaching the people about world wildlife population and what's happening to them. Also, the ability to manage captive animals is huge, and to prolificate the species.
Rosemary Brandt, our fine producer, always gives me these little tidbits, and it's good information. This is about Adopt an Animal. This is a great program that I'm looking at from your fine website. Tell me a bit about that, Jim.
Adopt an Animal, a little maybe misunderstanding. You don't actually get the animal. You're going to adopt the species.
And, folks would have room for perhaps a giraffe.
You're right.
Backyard.
And, you know, people will call and wonder when they can get their animal home. that situation. But no, we're just involved with the species that lives at the zoo.
How about the upkeep of the zoo? It's a 24/7 job, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. 365 days a year.
And folks that want to go into this industry, I know there was the question about the zoo apprentice, and it was a very sad situation. Were there some lessons that you all learned from that incident as you sat down and went over everything?
Absolutely.
That happened?
You know, you can't go through something like that and go back and not reflect on what you could do better and what you do better. And I think we have taken some major steps forward to eliminate some of the concerns and some of the issues that somebody may get involved with and not put them in a position that maybe they're not ready to handle yet.
Come by, check out the Reed Park Zoo, the new exhibit, the Tanzan Expedition. Tanzania is the new elephant habitat there. And folks that have interest in the leafy treats, again, the best way to contact you, Jim, is how?
Just call the zoo and they can contact my office, and then we'll have a discussion on what you have and how you can get it to us.
Okay, and if you forget Jim's last name, it is Schnormeyer.
Schnormeyer.
Uh-huh. So that's a pretty easy one, too.
Yeah, not too many of us around.
Or you can just say, hey, I heard the curator talking on the Buckmaster Show, and I want more information to help out about the leafy treats. Jim, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
That's going to bring us up now to about 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk with Margaret Regan, the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, talk all about the arts scene. That's coming up on our Tuesday edition. Stay with us. This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI The Voice.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1248. I am Bill Buckmaster, and the Buckmaster Show Arts Report is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom-frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And with us now on the Buckmaster Arts Report is Margaret Regan. She is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly. Margaret, how are you today?
I'm great, thanks, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well, and I'm looking forward to your piece that is coming up in the Weekly. Should be available online by Wednesday night and all the usual locations on Thursday. This is kind of an unusual event that's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very fun, or it sounds very fun. There's a young architect in town named Bill Mackey who's been doing these kind of provocative exhibitions downtown the last couple years. They're not just about art, they're about urban planning and design. But this one sounds really fun. He's calling it the Worker Transit Authority, and it's kind of a fantasy public planning session plus art that people can participate in. He's done all kinds of things. He had a young intern track every single Circle K in Tucson, if you can imagine.
Really?
Well over 70. And then Bill created a fake transit system that could take you to every single Circle K. And trying to be in line with the services that Circle K offers, he imagined the shuttle bus would be a Chevette with a Coke machine on top.
Oh, cool.
To any Circle K. So it's a lot of sort of weird stuff about looking at the built environment that we have, but also provocative and making us think about what it could be.
So yeah. It's kind of funny and kind of goofy, but there is a message, if you will.
Right, and people who come to the event, and he wants everybody to know it's going to be fun. There are going to be videos, possibly some performances, some funny art, bicycle billboards. But people are going to be asked to fill out questionnaires about how they use the city and how they use their own cars and transit. And he says, you know, if he gets some good information, maybe some of that could have an impact. And don't forget, if you go, this is Friday and Saturday night downtown for the next 3 weekends, by the way. Congress Street is closed, ironically, because they are right now laying down the tracks for the modern streetcar there. So you have to wiggle around to get to this place at 5th and Broadway. It's an empty building.
Oh, it should be fun. And that's going to be up for how long?
It's going to be 3 weekends, Friday and Saturday night. It's an event rather than an exhibit that you could go and see during the week. And it's all free. And he's going to have food trucks outside so you can get your dinner down there, too.
Oh, I'll look forward to that. Margaret Regan is with us from the Tucson Weekly. The theater, the big play that a lot of folks have been pointing at and hoping for is here. And the play is Red at ATC.
Yeah, it's a play about Mark Rothko, who was, you know, a brilliant abstract expressionist. It's a two-person play. I just saw it this weekend. It's really interesting. I mean, it's kind of a talky play, but very smart, very well acted. And visually, it's wonderful because they have these kind of giant evocations of Rothko's paintings, which you may know were kind of these big geometric floating rectangles in beautiful, almost spiritual colors. That's where we get the word red, because so many of the paintings he's making in the play are red. And it's kind of about the nature of art, and it's a young man who works with him. You know, he's an eminence at this time in his life, and they kind of have a verbal combat about changing aesthetics. It's very good. There's a wonderful moment where the two of them do this kind of dance where they're both painting a red ground on a canvas together, and it's just you know, physically shows what art is and how it takes the body and the mind and the spirit. It's really good, and I wanted to give you a nice quote from Sherilyn Forrester, who reviews theater for The Weekly. She said, "For those who love art and enjoy lively discussions about it, this play is an absolute delight."
Okay, and the play Red at ATC is going to be running through, is it this weekend?
Yeah, this is the last weekend. I think I just saw it last weekend. It was the second. They usually are up for 3 weekends, so it does close this Sunday. So if you want to get down there, you should.
Yeah,
the season
is quickly closing. The Margaret Regan and the Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you by Moe's Gallery, Moe's at moesgallery.com. Also, in musical theater, Broadway in Tucson is coming to town.
In fact, they're opening tonight with this play, In the Heights. Pretty interesting. It's a Broadway musical about immigrants, contemporary immigrants in New York City. I guess kind of a West Side Story redo, perhaps, for the 21st century. And what's exciting about it is that this is, you know, got good reviews on Broadway, but there's a very young playwright at work here who wrote the book for it. Her name is Chiara Alegría Udes. And she just won the Pulitzer Prize for another drama, not this one, but this play, In the Heights. I mean, it's a musical, but the book for it was up for a Pulitzer Prize a couple of years ago. She's only 34 years old, and she's writing these amazing plays about contemporary life. So I think that's a great thing for Tucson. This play happens to be coming here just the week after those Pulitzers were handed out. So.
Did Borderlands perform one of her plays?
Yes, they did, last fall, and kudos to them for finding this young and interesting playwright. That was 26 Miles last fall, and that was about a young woman from a Hispanic Jewish family in Philadelphia, which is, I believe, the playwright's own background, going on a road trip across America and finding themselves. So very interesting and good for Tucson. We've had two of her plays just in the last season. So.
The Philibom Gallery of Glass, they have such beautiful things down there, and they've got a show. I think it's wrapping up, isn't it, this weekend?
That's right, yeah, the 30, 40, 50 show. It's a historic show all about the contemporary glass art movement, which really began in the United States 50 years ago. With a Professor Harvey Littleton that our own Tom Philibom, who's done so much for glass here in Tucson and elsewhere in the country, he studied with him as a young student. So this is a show that kind of documents the development of this wonderful art form that really didn't even get started in the U.S. until after the war with these various college programs. So it'd be a great thing to get down there. It closes on Saturday, so this would be the last chance to see that.
You know, Margaret, we have not talked about your book, and I really want to bring up the work you have done. You are an author, and your book, you continue to speak, don't you,
yes.
around the country about the book?
Yes,
tell,
I do.
How about a little plug for yourself here?
Okay.
And the name name of the book and where it's available, because I've had more people say, well, Margaret, didn't she have a book about the border?
Yeah, that's right. Well, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it's called The Death of Joceline, Immigration Stories from the Arizona Borderlands. And it's kind of it's a work of journalism and storytelling. Covers everything that's happened on our tragic border for the last 10, 12 years. And it interviews lots of, you know, Border Patrol agents, ranchers who are affected by the people crossing their land, the migrants. It's a lot about the many deaths we have had. And, of course, the deaths continue, even though, as we just saw today, a huge new study came out yesterday. Immigration is way, way down from Mexico. It looks like a historic change. But even with the drastic drop in numbers coming in through Arizona, we're still seeing a lot of deaths. So still trying to get the word out about that. Last week I did a nice program at the Arizona State Museum. I'll give a plug for their exhibition, Many Mexicos, which is all about sort of the history of the U.S.-Mexico borderlands and the intertwined history of Mexico and the Southwest. So I got a chance to talk to some very nice people at that show. And this weekend I'm going up to Minnesota, where I'm going to be speaking about my book to a number of different groups.
And when you speak to the Minnesotans about the border, it's obviously a different audience than folks that are living 60 miles north of the border.
Yeah.
Are you sometimes surprised by their questions about our border?
Yeah, you know, I'm often surprised that people don't know that much about it, you know, because here, obviously, we know a lot about the border. We hear about the deaths. We hear about the crossings. We hear about the arrests. But around the country, I've been surprised people will say to me, I didn't know anything about this, or I didn't know anything about the deaths. With all the discussion about immigration that we've had in our country the last few years, there's very little attention paid to those kinds of struggles where people actually die trying to come up here to work or to be reunited with their families. So I feel like when I go around the country, I can just be the eyewitness. You know, I've been down here on the border, and I know this stuff, so I can share that with people and hope that, you know, it helps all of us come to some sort of solution to these problems.
Margaret, it's always a delight talking to you, and your next appearance here on the Buckmaster Show, it's kind of a quick turnaround for you. It's next Wednesday.
That's right.
So we will do it again in a week or so, and okay. We'll be talking about what's coming up in the arts calendar for the following weekend. Thank you, Margaret.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
And safe travels to
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Margaret Regan with us on the Buckmaster Show Arts Report, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors. They've got great art there, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Go by and say hello to Moe Gaul, G-A-U-L, Moe and his wonderful daughter, Corinne. They do a great job in the Interior Design Center, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Buckmaster Show also brought to you in part by our friends, CPA Michael C. Flowers and his gang over at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. The time flies during the noon hour on Buckmaster. We'll do it again tomorrow afternoon. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.